Yeah. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Jaya Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada. Prabhu Pada, Jaya Jaya Prabhu Pada. Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma Bandhu Moe Savadana Mate Bandhu Moe Savadana Mate Prahara Prasadeva Evavato Riyaja Jahara Prasade Bhai Evavato Riyaja Krishna Prapti Hoja Ate Krishna Prapti Hoi Jaha Hate Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Kya Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Kya हर ना करे हो मने आशा हर ना करे हो मने आशा गुरु चरण रते ऐसे होता मागते श्री गुरु चरण रते ऐसे होता मागते प्रसादे पूरे सर्व आशा जे प्रसादे पूरे सर्व आशा चक्षुदान दिलो जय जन्मे जन्मे प्रभु से चक्षुदान दिलो जय जन्मे जन्मे प्रभु से दिव्य ज्ञान हृदय प्रकाशित दिव्य ज्ञान हृदय प्रकाशित प्रेमा भक्ति जहाँ होते अविद्या विनाश जाते प्रेमा भक्ति जहाँ होते अविद्या विनाश जाते तेरे गाय जहर चरित श्री गुरु करुणा सिंधु अलम जनर बंधु श्री गुरु करुणा सिंधु अलम जनर बंधु लोकनाथ लोकर जीवाना प्रभुपाद लोकर जीवाना आहा प्रभु करो दया देह मोरे पान छाया प्रभु करो दया देह मोरे पान छाया आहा प्रभु करो दया देह मोरे पान छाया आहा प्रभु करो दया देह मोरे पान छाया देवे जा शुक्रे भुवाना श्रीला प्रभुपाद पतित पावाना श्री गुरु करुणा सिंधु अलम जनर बंधु लोकनाथ लोकेरा दीवाना प्रभु करो दया दे देहो मोरे पादा छाया। आहा प्रभु करो दया देहो मोरे पादा छाया। एबे जाज दुशु त्रिभुवाना Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा
राम हरे राम हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिराज विचार्य श्रोतर श्रीशी महाराज वाइकरणारम भक्ति विराट साईं महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिराज विचार्य श्रोतर श्रीशी श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोसाई महाराज की अनंत गोदी वैष्णविंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम गहोष श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गरार हर शिवासारी गौर भक्तविंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोकोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधकुन गिरी गोवर्धन की श्री वृंदावन धाम की श्री मायापुर नवदीप धाम की श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जमुना देवी गंगा देवी की सांबेत भक्ति वृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज गो प्रेमानंद
Janet Prabhu, is there a harmonium that works among that pile of four over there in the corner?
You want to do the harmonium?
Yeah.
Where do you want to put the four over there?
Can I just put it here?
Sure.
Work this for now, and then we'll put it back.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabharava Giravare Rari Gopi Janabharava Giravare Rari Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravana Chahani Yamuna Chiravana Chahani Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Girivare Rani Gopi Jana Balava Girivare Rani Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravana Chahani Yamuna Chiravana Chahari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari
Jai Om Vishnu Padapada Mahamsa Parivaraja Kacharya Astotara Sadashi Shimadis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Padapada Mahamsa Parivaraja Kacharya Astotara Sadashi Shimadis Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai. Shri Shri Kishore Kishore ki jai. Chicago ISKCON ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Well, thank you all very much for being here today. As you know, we're doing some special classes during the next couple of days on particular themes and topics. So today, Anuttama Prabhu and I are going to be talking about ISKCON education, or what is the purpose, what is the place of education within ISKCON. And of course, it's a very wide-ranging field and topic, so we're going to try to narrow it down a little bit. We're going to start with a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we are going to discuss devotee education and its need at all different levels, how it relates to Srila Prabhupada's mission, and then we're going to talk a little bit specifically about how it's currently done, what is needed, what are some of the challenges and opportunities that we have in education within our movement. So we'll be doing a little bit of back and forth. I'm going to start out with the verse and talk about it a little bit, and then Anuttaman will be both speaking. So I'm going to start with a very well-known verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.1, Prahlad Maharaj speaking about education to his classmates. I'll just read it since we don't have it. Shri Prahlad Uvacha Komara Chare Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatani Ha Durlabha Manusham Janma Tadapya Dhruvam Hartada. The translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection." And this is not the full purport, but about two-thirds of the purport by Srila Prabhupada. "The whole purpose of Vedic civilization, of reading the Vedas, is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activity so as to engage perfectly in devotional service. The Krishna conscious movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again into animal life. In all schools, colleges, and universities, and at home, all children and youth should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, to put them in practice in their lives, and thus to become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life." So Prabhupada makes it clear here, and in many, many purports, in many, many places throughout his writings, teachings, classes, conversations, that this Krishna conscious movement is an educational movement. Prabhupada almost used these terms simultaneously. When he talked about preaching and instructing in Krishna consciousness, he talked about educating, about teaching. So these were very, very familiar terms with Srila Prabhupada, and he used this in much of his instruction, this framework. We thought we both would just mention a little bit about ourselves, and Anuttama will follow later, as far as our own interest in education. I guess you might think, well, I guess why we were picked to present this topic. I have my professional background, I have a doctorate in educational psychology, and I've taught at many schools and universities. I'm still teaching on the internet now. I've also been the director of two Gurukulas throughout my time in Krishna consciousness. And more recently, I've been very involved in our succession planning and leadership training committee of the GBC, where we've been working for the last few years to try to develop leadership training and the whole concept of how devotees can advance in Krishna consciousness through more systematic training and education, as well as other activities to become better leaders and to be able to teach and train other devotees in Krishna consciousness. One quote from Srila Prabhupada from The Quest for Enlightenment, he said, "In this Krishna conscious movement, we are giving people a chance to understand the problems of life and how to solve them. It is not a sectarian movement or a so-called religious movement. It is not a religion." Interesting, Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is not a religion. What is it? It's an educational and cultural movement. So Prabhupada emphasizes very much that that we are educating the greater society. And Srila Prabhupada personally put great emphasis on working with educational institutions. He very much liked that devotees went to the professors and to the universities. We had the library party going, where full sets of Bhagavatams were put in libraries throughout schools, universities, and libraries throughout the country. Prabhupada took every opportunity to speak with the educated class of people, to speak with academicians, and he very much encouraged his devotees to also do this. Prabhupada also emphasized often that we should preach to this intelligent and educated class of people. So, you know, just as we see now, I know in Chicago, I think you have programs at least, what, 4 different universities? You know, many different, and this is exactly in line with the way Prabhupada always emphasized that we should go to these student populations, to educated people, and give them real spiritual education. Prabhupada said in Srimad Bhagavatam a few verses before the one we read at the end of the 5th chapter, "Only the devotees of the Lord, headed by such great personalities as Prahlad Maharaj and Narada Muni, are interested in the real education of spiritual life. One should be interested in spiritual education. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement is spreading all over the world, following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj." So again, and you can find many, many quotes like this. Prabhupada talks about spiritual education. You know, he emphasizes the educational aspect more than a preaching religious aspect almost of it. So even in Prabhupada's words and language, he very much put this emphasis there, about how we need to be very involved and very concerned with education, and specifically spiritual education and Krishna consciousness. So there's a couple different aspects of this that we're going to be speaking about. Of course, we need to educate all members of society. We need to give Krishna consciousness to everyone through our outreach efforts. That's very obvious. And at the same time, we need to internally educate our own devotees. I guess we're going to be spending more of our time talking about the education of our devotees, those who have somehow come to Krishna consciousness through our outreach efforts, through our preaching efforts, our book distribution, and so many programs that we have. Once these people come to Krishna consciousness, then what happens? And I think that's what our concern is. Are we providing sufficient educational programs? Are we providing sufficient training for new devotees? Are we providing education for our children? What to speak of, are we educating in an ongoing way our leaders? Are we getting, is sufficient leadership training being done? And we can see the whole aspect of higher education, continuing education, skills training. Anuttama Prabhu was speaking more about that. Now, as we go through some of these areas, I do want to emphasize that a lot has been done, and a lot of wonderful devotees have individually initiated many wonderful programs of education in Krishna consciousness. But we probably are lacking in a systematic effort, an organized effort that's very wide-ranging and very wide-based, so very broad-based. And this is part of the problem that we're just beginning to pull all of these different elements together in a more organized way. And of course, this was very important. Sometimes devotees think that Krishna consciousness is only spontaneous and not organized. It's both. It's both spontaneous and it's organized. And in my initiation letter from Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada said to us specifically, he said, "You are all intelligent boys and girls." Prabhupada was very kind. "Therefore, my request to you
is that you study the science of Krishna consciousness, study, and solve all the problems of the world. That's all I had to do. I got a small challenge given by my guru. Solve all the problems of the world by systematic propaganda, as far as you are able to do it. It took me about 30 years to actually to realize what, you know, what this meant. Prabhupada talked about systematic propaganda. He meant, you know, organized, strategic, planned, you know, ways of figuring out how to spread Krishna consciousness. You know, not just in sporadic efforts, but in very organized, systematic ways. So, you know, I didn't think about that a lot in my early years, but in my later years, I've been thinking about this instruction over and over again, about systematic propaganda. So the urgency is there, the need is there. It's very clear how much Prabhupada considered the education, organized educational efforts as being a keystone of our spreading Krishna consciousness and also maintaining and educating and helping the devotees to advance in Krishna consciousness. I'm going to turn over now to Anuttama to give a few more thoughts on education and ISKCON.
Hare Krishna. So, it's a little unusual to have two people giving classes, and Tamar said, not quite sure why they selected the two of us to do it. I know why they selected him to do it, because he has a PhD and because he teaches at university courses. And just in case you want to know who to take a break in between when which one of us is speaking, he professionally teaches university courses. I schlep jewelry, and he has a PhD, and I dropped out of university. So pay more attention to what he has to say than what I have to say. But I'll try to.
Anuttama is far more spiritually advanced, as you'll soon see.
Anyway, we're happy to be able to speak to you together here. I'm going to build on a few points. Tamahar was emphasizing Prabhupada's. And his beautiful letter, your initiation letter, it's a beautiful letter. Let me read that one more time. It's so amazing. You are all intelligent boys and girls. Therefore, my request to you is that you study the science of Krishna consciousness and solve all of the problems of the world by systematic propaganda as far as you are able to do it. So this maybe draws a connection. Anybody else think of what did Prabhupada talk about systematic propaganda or systematically something. That ring a bell with anybody? Oh. Yesterday we heard from Vaisheshika Prabhu in a meeting about the seventh of Prabhupada's seven purposes. Right? We are probably most of you familiar that when Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON in New York in 1966, right in the initial official documents of ISKCON, the purposes, what's the purpose of this organization? So Prabhupada incorporated or made these seven, and oftentimes we talk about these as kind of the mission statement. Prabhupada never used that exact term, but kind of put it in terms of like modern management ideas or leadership ideas. What's your mission statement? Well, we have our seven purposes. The seventh of which, again, Vaisheshika Prabhu reminded us yesterday, to, with a view towards all the six above, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. Other places within the purposes, Prabhupada talks about teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. Anybody here from Gita Nagari or into the farm communities? We know there's a re-emphasis on the farm community development in ISKCON the last few years. Number five, Prabhupada said to erect, I'll just pull these central concepts, a holy place, just like here Nityananda Prabhu and so many devotees working nicely to maintain, develop this holy place. ISKCON as a whole around the world is building many, many temples, of course, especially the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is coming up very nicely, going to be major structure and major community function for the whole world, really. Number three, Prabhupada talks about bringing the members of the society together and closer to Krishna. Number two, he talks about propagating a consciousness of Krishna. And number four and number one, he specifically uses the language of education. Number four, he says to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement. So to teach, that's certainly educational focus. And then number one, just working backwards to what is the one that Prabhupada, at least he certainly had something to say with the order of this document, was the first thing that Prabhupada mentions of the seven purposes. Anybody know? It's It's right out of the same letter, actually. He doesn't say systematic propaganda. He says to systematically propagate. What? What are we systematically propagating? Nityananda Prabhu, you know this? Spiritual knowledge. Yes. Number one purpose of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge. To who? To society at large, and to educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Which I kind of find one of the most inspiring things that Prabhupada's ever written or put his stamp on. That, you know, sometimes people ask, well, what's your movement all about? Well, we're focused on propagating spiritual knowledge to help educate people in spiritual practices, correct the imbalances of values, and help achieve real unity and peace. It's like, who can complain about that, you know? What are you ultimately trying to do? We're trying to help promote real unity and peace in the world by addressing the imbalance of values in life through teaching spiritual knowledge to all people. No separation, everybody. So it's a beautiful thing. So certainly education, very, very important to Srila Prabhupada, is the quotes that Tamahar is referring to. And here in the seven purposes, go back a little bit, just there's many, many, many references, but some Shastric reference from the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Long verse, but we're all familiar with it, and it's appropriate, so I'll read the whole thing. Humility. Pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, acceptance of the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge. Besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So this is Krishna's standard of what is knowledge, what is real education, and a little bit from the purport. Prabhupada really speaks very strongly here. This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually this, what Prabhupada's mentioned here, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements, as described before. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements, and the process of knowledge as described here is the means to get out of it. So different concept of education. In the modern world, people think education primarily, not exclusively, primarily technology. What are the techniques for understanding how to control the material energy, subtle and gross? But Prabhupada says that real knowledge is actually meant to teach us the process how to get out of the material elements, how to get out of this entanglement that they're presently caught within. And also Prabhupada describes elsewhere that education is meant to create men and women of character. That's the real purpose of education. He would sometimes say not to create armchair philosophers. You know, people can manipulate the world through the material sciences or through some types of philosophical debate or speculation. They can philosophize about so many things, but they're low character. The purpose of education is to develop character. And we see in the world today there's so many institutions of higher education. All over the world, governments spend billions of dollars in higher education, and I was just in a small town called Davidson, North Carolina, visiting Hridayananda Maharaj and other devotees down there in North Carolina, and there's a little liberal arts college, I never heard of it, 2,000 students, and there's hundreds of them all over the country. They spend lots and lots and lots of money. So they emphasize education, but are they really focusing on It's described here how to get out of the material entanglement, how to develop people of character. And we can see, despite so much emphasis on education in the world, things really aren't getting a whole lot better. So much stress on science, but then science is misused. It's abused. How do we build better weapons? And then business, people learn how to do business. Well, how do we make more money, oftentimes at the expense of other people? Or how do we make more money selling the weapon systems that the scientists developed? I live in Washington, D.C. We get full-page ads in the newspaper regularly and radio ads regularly promoting the new bomber system and how it's a really fantastic one. And, you know, we got to make more of these things. And can we sell them to the Canadians? And can we sell them to the Arabs? And it's all, it's like, that's what the conversation is about. So as far as education, Prabhupada said the real question is, where's the science of the soul? That's the education that really needs to be there. And I know for many of us, we look to find some higher answers for these problems that are there. So just, Tamahar mentioned briefly his personal interest in education. I'll discuss that, then we'll go on to look at types of education. I personally got involved in education in ISKCON about maybe 20 years ago. I was invited to attend a planning session at the Bhaktivedanta Manor to write a book distribution course. And Navina Nirada Prabhu, who was a book distribution minister at that time, was there, and I think a couple other leading Sankirtan devotees and devotees that did education from around the world. And we spent 4 days in agonizingly painful exercises talking about how do we distribute, what are the challenges of book distribution, what are the proper principles of book distribution, how do we teach people book distribution. And I was exceedingly happy yesterday. Vaisheshika Prabhu made his presentation to the GBC members in a meeting here, and as he's always done, the primary directive, which was something that was identified 20 years ago after we'd seen we'd made so much progress with book distribution, but so many problems were there too. And now the primary directive that you've been teaching, leave everyone happy, if I said it right. Leave everyone with a good impression, which in my early days of book distribution, there wasn't a lot of education. It was, here's your book bag, you're the devotee, they're the karmi. The goal is for them to walk away with the book. And I kind of stood around and watched people do varieties of different techniques, some of which were quite sattvic, and others were less so. And, you know, we reap different rewards from that because we didn't have proper education. But now this particular group that met years ago was, how do we learn from what we've done well? How do we improve upon that? And how do we train a whole new generation of book distributors, temple devotees, congregational devotees, who leave people with a good impression and leave people walking away with a book that they generally want to read. So it really was a revolution in that. And by combining devotees, experts that were expert in certain practices of Krishna consciousness, and bringing them together with devotees that knew about education, and then from there, you know, for me, that really convinced me, boy, there's a whole other way of doing these things. And maybe we should think about this in terms of our deity worship. Maybe we should think about this in terms of our management. Maybe we should think about this in terms of our teachers, etc. So that got me interested in education.
I just want to add, since he didn't say it himself, that interest that was fanned, that little spark in Anuttama, led to him being one of the devotees over the last 20 years who has been probably one of the most instrumental people in developing very important courses, seminars, skill-based classes for devotees. Anuttama Prabhu has developed the leadership training course, the communications course. He was one of the main people developing the disciple course, the guru course. He was instrumental with several of us who developed the Grihastha course. So Anuttama has been very much on the forefront of education within ISKCON over many years. In fact, before many of us even really had that developed that much interest. So now we're going to talk about some of the specific areas. I think what we're going to do sort of first is a little bit of a very short sort of state of education, ISKCON in different areas, and kind of like what's being done. And then we're going to go back a little bit with maybe a slight critique or what are some of the challenges and what are the needs, what needs to be done. So we'll kind of do two passes on these. I'm going to talk about like primary education, Gurukula, and devotee basic training, and then Anuttama is going to talk about higher education, leadership training, continuing education. So Prabhupada, in many of these purports and early writings, particularly in the seventh canto, spoke a lot about training children from the earliest age. By the age of five, a child should be going to Gurukula, become educated, and the importance of this to that person's life. Now, we have had a very mixed bag as far as successes with Gurukula education, and I'm not going to go through the whole history of it, but you know, currently, I would say it's very much lacking in many areas. India is probably the strongest in having educational institutions there for children, Mayapur, Vrindavan, several institutions, and as well as many other cities and like that throughout India. In America, basically, we have some fairly large schools in Alachua. Dallas has had a school for many years that they maintain, a small elementary school. New Vrindavan has a struggling school with about 8 or 10 students, which is largely subsidized. It's not self-sufficient. The two boards in New Vrindavan are really, really keeping it going. There's a few. I know in Seattle they're developing a very major project. If it's actually started yet or if it's about to. When will it start? 15 are starting. Okay. So there are 50. Good. So there are some efforts like this. And what's it? Houston is starting a program. I know Hanumat Prasad Swami has been involved. Shesh has been involved in kind of a larger effort to make Houston kind of an educational center in terms of teacher training and things like this. They're developing teachers to teach in our elementary schools. And they're also, of course, developing their own schools. So Houston, is going to take a major lead in this as well. So we have some different efforts like this that are around. But it's been a challenge. It's difficult because of finances. Most of these schools have to be self-sufficient. It means they're tuition-based, which means it's difficult for devotees to raise the money to be able to send their children. You're competing with free elementary education from the state and municipalities. You also have a problem of, you often have very dispersed groups of children, where a small or medium-sized temple might have 8 kids who are ready to go to school, and they range from kindergarten through 8th grade. I mean, the logistic problems are immense in trying to pull things off like that. So anyway, we've always had these challenges and difficulties. Alachua's probably been the most successful. At one time, we had 4 different schools there. Currently, there's a charter school, which actually is a state school, which has about 150 children. And our actual day school, the Gurukula, Bhaktivedanta Academy, has about 65 children this year. So they've been fairly successful, but there's also been some very unique financial situations where we get a lot of state aid, scholarship aid for parents. So it has been hard. The other thing that we have found is that there's been a real shift, at least in Western countries, away from residential ashram gurukulas. And of course, we had some very severe problems with those and difficulties in the past. I think there's a reluctance to take those up right now. So most of the movement in America is towards day schools. I think that's what we're going to see, more and more development of that. Anyway, that is an ongoing issue, and it's something that's probably underfunded, and there's not enough attention and interest put on in those areas. But on the other hand, Prabhupada actually did once say that, when he's talking about who should be responsible for the schools financially, he said the parents. So, the burden really is on the parents to develop these educational systems for our children. Although I think ISKCON and the leadership needs to be very supportive and instrumental and help wherever we can. Another very, very important area of education is what I guess we would call new devotee training. This is something that has had a lot of different efforts in all throughout histories. I mean, you've had way back to Dhanavir Swami began Bhakta training programs, I think, 30, 40 years ago, and then some of those lasted, some of them didn't last, things were supplanted. And there's a lot that's being done, but it tends to be a little bit sporadic. It's not consistent. We don't have consistent standards. Some temples do certain types of programs, some don't. But the problem is, if a new person is coming to Krishna consciousness, how do they learn the basics of Krishna consciousness? How do they learn this Abhideya, how to perform devotional service? They may become convinced of the philosophy by getting the books, talking to devotees, etc., but how are they going to actually take up Krishna consciousness in their lives? Now, one of the oldest programs around us have been the Bhakti Vriksha programs, and these have served an important, you know, very important purpose. But the Bhakti Vriksha programs have some drawbacks. They tend to be a group of people that stays together. There's not so much easy entry for a new person. And frankly, sometimes these Bhakti Vriksha groups are very much around particular ethnic identification, and often they're around particular guru identification. I'll give you an example. In Atlanta, they have four Bhakti Vriksha groups, and if you ask them, everyone will tell you, this is the Gopal Krishna Maharaj Bhakti Vriksha group, this is the Radhana Swami group, this is the Indrajumna Swami group, this is the Jayapataka Swami group. That. And that obviously has some inherent problems. If I'm a brand new person, how do I fit in? I haven't selected a group. In fact, and just to remind you all, what does ISKCON law say? That it should be 6 months or a year? That a new devotee should be concentrating on their relationship with Srila Prabhupada and the ISKCON movement and learning the basic Krishna consciousness, and then select their guru after they know the basics. Not that the person walks in the door, he's put into a group and saying, this is who your guru is. And then sometimes we see divisions and things around that. But I don't want to diverge too much. That's more of a management issue that we need. It's not unsolvable. We just need to work on that. But this hasn't always led to easy entree for new people to come in to a community and learn about Krishna consciousness in a systematic way. So I know, like Nityananda Prahn was saying, that they're developing some program here in Chicago, right? Nityananda Prahn? You were saying you were developing some program in Chicago, a sort of a bhakti training program, and that's kind of systematic. Vaisheshika has developed this program called Roots, which is Bhakti Roots. Bhakti Roots course. Anyway, and they've done some work there where they have something more formal, systematic, that they can give to new people. And I think a lot of it is even self-study. They can do a lot of it on their own. And there are programs like this. There's been some things developed on the internet. You know, some like, you know, Dhruva Maharaj in Alachua, he's developed some Bhagavad Gita classes that are on the internet that people can go through and learn systematically. But this is, I think, one of our topics will probably come up in our meetings today. These efforts have again, been a little bit sporadic. Some places do them very well. Some places don't do them at all. In many places of the world, when you become a devotee, it's kind of hit and miss. Depends on who talks to you, who pays attention to you, whether you get some training, whether you get some education, whether you take it upon yourself. And this is something that definitely needs a lot of work. You know, to systemize these. Now, there are some things, some very great potentials that are there. Not only in that there's a lot of devotees that are interested in putting together some more solid framework, coursework, but we also have the internet. And there's tremendous potential in the internet. This has just begun to be really explored as far as how people can do training courses, learn specific coursework, whether it be Bhagavad Gita or particular Shastric studies on the internet. So there's probably tremendous potential there, and I suspect that that's going to be one of the things we're going to see a strong movement towards web-based education. Because especially for what we're finding more and more is there's a certain amount of devotees that are here in Chicago, and how many devotees live in the temple here? 30? Yeah. 25 devotees live in the temple, and they have an opportunity to, you know, come to classes and learn. But how many interested people, devotees of some sort, are in your congregation in the Chicago area? Thousands, probably, right? So you have thousands of people who don't have that opportunity of attending the Bhagavatam class and getting the in-temple systematic instruction. And that's going to be the trend. That's the future. The future is going to be that we're becoming more congregationally based. There's more and more people outside of our temples, and we have to have systems in place for their spiritual education. Okay, I'm going to.
Class ends at 8:30, 8:15.
We go to 9.
9 o'clock.
We can expand up to as far as long.
Okay.
Well, we'll try to take questions.
Okay. So talk a little bit about some of the other educational programs that are there and some of the success stories that we have. I mentioned briefly about the book distribution seminar that was begun many years ago. Right about that time, many, many courses were created sequentially, one after another, specifically looking at this need. We have a very vibrant society. We've got temples all over the world. We got so many people that are joining our ashrams, and now more and more people are becoming active members of the congregation. What's the process to help these people understand how to have the proper skills and how to be effective? So soon after the book distribution course, a similar process was done in creating a communications course. We brought about 8 or 10 people that had some expertise in communications work, how to work with government leaders, how to work with religious leaders, how to work with the media, etc. Brought them together along with devotees that are teachers that had background in course curriculum development, and said, how do we teach these skills to devotees that are adults and they're busy and they've maybe got jobs or they've got full-time service as temple presidents or head pujaris or things like that? So there's a communications course was created that's a 4-day seminar about how devotees can actually apply communications techniques and principles to enhance the reputation of their temple in their local areas, in their national areas, how they can interact with and build mutually beneficial relationships with the power brokers that are there in their communities. So there's training like that. Soon after that, a few years after that course was created in St. Louis, we brought temple presidents and regional leaders from Europe, India, and North America and sat down and said, what are the problems with our management structures and our management techniques? What are the problems with our leadership? What are the skills that are needed to train people how to lead better, how to manage better? So, you know, many of you have been through these kind of processes. You get out the flip charts and you fill up a wall with all the problems. And then you fill up a wall with, it takes, you know, a day practically each. What are the outcomes we want? What are the things that our leaders should know and should know how to do? And then from that, what are the principles that have to be there? For instance, I think the leadership and management course, as an example, there are, I believe, 16 what were identified as essential principles of good management within ISKCON. First and foremost, of course, being aligned with Srila Prabhupada. Everything we do in management and leadership has got to be first and foremost based on what Prabhupada teaches us. And also, it has to be based on accountability. That's one of the principles. You can't have good leadership if we're not accountable to those above us and to those that we serve. You can't have good leadership without empowerment and teamwork. That's a key principle of good leadership. You can't have good leadership without balance and sustainability. You know, we all know where you have to not just have the biggest temple in the city or the country. It has to last for a while. You can't just attract people to Krishna consciousness. You have to help them sustain in Krishna consciousness. You can't just have the most profitable Janmashtami. You have to keep the temple open till next year for Janmashtami. So you can't just have, you know, moments of great successes. But you have to be able to success to continue. Out of that, then a course was created, Grihastha Vision Team. Not out of that, but the next one is examples of some of the things that are there, Grihastha Seminar. Because devotees started to realize that we have problems. You know, we speak in Bhavatam classes about ideal Krishna conscious marriages. And then you look around, it's like, how many times you've been married? Or no, he's getting divorced, or oh no, she's getting divorced, etc. So where's our systems to give people a shot at being successful? Oftentimes, years ago, people, you know, was okay, you're going to get married. Well, how do you do that? Well, just, you know, keep Krishna in the center. Okay, well, that's good, but how do you wash dishes with Krishna in the center? How do you deal with disciplining children? Well, she's got a certain style and he's got a different style, etc. How do you understand these things? I remember an example that kind of came up in this grass division creation of this team that, you know, they give the story of the German man that marries the Italian woman. And from his culture, say Swedish man, from his culture, if you get excited about something, well, that's not a really good thing. We should be calm and cool. And naturally, if there's some tension in the relationship, you take a time out, right? Like they tell kids these days, take a time out. So, you know, he's Swedish. There's some tension comes up. They start to debate. And he walks out the door to cool off and come back and deal with it later. Unfortunately, his wife's from Italy. If you're Italian, you solve things by talking about them. You know, that's the express yourself, and you know, that's how you deal with conflicts. So he's walking out the door because that's what Swedes are trained to do in his culture, and she's following him, trying to talk about it because that's what she's seen her mother and father do. And as the colloquial term is there, all hell breaks loose because he's thinking, "What are you crazy?" And she's thinking, "Don't you love me?" And that's it. And there's no training to understand those kind of things. So again, we've got some real depth of talent in our movement now. We brought devotees that have a background in family therapy and counseling and education and put together a beautiful seminar, how to train future grihasthas and grihasthas to strengthen their marriages in Krishna consciousness. A few years ago, we brought senior gurus together. Couldn't get everybody, but Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhaktachur Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, Rabindranath Prabhu, other educators that understand Vaishnav tradition and history, Garuda Prabhu, brought back some managers and said, let's look at this practically. We've had 25 years of devotees fulfilling this very important and very difficult service of guru, Diksha Guru. Now, what about the next generation, 10, 15, 20, 50 years from now? Are we just going to say, okay, you know, your guru, good luck? Or maybe can we learn something from what we've done well and what we haven't done so well in the past? How do we make sure devotees are successful? So now there's a seminar. It's an ISKCON law. Before someone accepts that role, that service of Diksha Guru, they have to sit together in a seminar for 4 days to help learn from those that have gone before. This 2 years ago, Disciples course, it will become mandatory next year. So many different wonderful things were created. And in some parts of the world, in India, they took a lot of these different 4 and 6 and 8 day courses and put them together, what they call a LEADS program, leadership training program. We attempt to do a similar thing. We'll talk about that when we wrap up in a few minutes. In North America, we try to consolidate it into like about a 12-week program over two years. They have a much greater success in India now. They've done it a couple times. They have, I think, about 50 young leaders and potential leaders, and they come together for an intensive training, and they go through all of these different parts that have been put together by different kind of short training courses and really equip them how to be effective as good leaders and managers, so they get the background with all these different courses, conflict resolution, communications, grihastha, disciples, etc. And that's been quite successful in India. So it's evolving. A couple other things, then I'll hand it back to Tamahar Prabhu. Some things that have been very successful. Limited, as Tamahar mentioned, it's been a little bit sporadic. We do have now the Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh that's awarding full degrees in two areas, in theology and also in education. And they've graduated several dozen devotees. It's a beautiful college located at the campus in Radhadesh. It's really an idyllic place. And it's been very successful. It's also had some challenges we'll talk about later. And also Radhadesh, along the lines of what Tamahar Prabhu was discussing now, is moving a lot of their courses towards online versions so that you can get a degree in theology online. That's in the works right now. One other success I'll mention that many of us in North America are aware of, it is a ISKCON-inspired program. It's not officially an ISKCON program, but the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies, run by Shonaka Rishi Prabhu, ISKCON member. You could talk about that for a couple hours, but in essence, they've graduated over 55 students so far with PhDs in in religious studies, Hindu studies, etc. And why that's particularly important is because those graduates with their PhDs, like Radhika Raman Prabhu, Ravi Gupta, are now the professors of religion and Hindu studies more and more at universities all around the world. So like ISKCON people are becoming the experts in Vaishnavism, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, in Hinduism, and in teaching these courses. So that's a very, very significant thing. We all know if you go to any university and you take Muslim studies, good chance your professor's name is going to include Muhammad. He's Dr. Muhammad something or Dr. something Muhammad. The Muslims are the experts on Islam. And if you go to school and study something in depth on Christianity, generally, not always, but generally the professor is going to be Christian. If you take Jewish studies, he's not going to be a Mormon teaching you Jewish studies. But up till now, if you want to take Vaishnava studies, Hindu studies, you're going to learn it from a secular professor who's not necessarily of the tradition. So very, very significant thing that's starting to bear fruit more and more. Our people, Krishna Chaitra, now Maharaj, writing books, Radhika Raman, Krishna Abhishek, there's many, many, many. We're becoming the experts in the academic environment because of effort by ISKCON and ISKCON devotees at higher education. So very, very, very significant events.
Just more challenges. And last thing, and then we'll go to questions. A lot of success, a lot of progress, a lot of individual really wonderful programs, but there still are a lot of challenges. I don't think any of us feel we are where we want to be in all of these different areas of education. We have a lot of work to do. And sometimes, frankly, we haven't always put as much energy in as we probably should into these areas. Most educational programs have happened because of one or two devotees, where somebody just had a strong desire to do something, they somehow scraped it together, they got the resources, they managed it, they put something together. I would say that we have a lack of institutional support for education. We give a lot of lip service, we don't give much money for education. That's one thing. We also, of course, need to direct devotees in these ways. Devotees who are competent and talented devotees need to be involved in education at all of these different levels. So, you know, we do have these challenges. Even when Anuta and myself and Rompa Swami was also involved, when we were putting together the leadership training program for North America several years ago, and I frankly felt that there was not so much buy-in from the other leaders. We weren't getting temple presidents saying, yeah, I'll send my vice president and the head majority, the temple commander, or the congregational, you know, director. We weren't getting a lot of that because I think one of the problems is that we've had this sort of example somewhat in ISKCON, because in the beginning, what did Srila Prabhupada have to work with? Unfortunately, us, you know, that were, you know, 21 years old or 18 years old, or, you know, there are a few old timers who are like in their mid-20s and thrown into positions of leadership. And in some ways, they did amazingly well, considering that they had very little training or experience, and by Krishna's grace and by their surrender, so many things happened. So many good things happen in terms of expansion. You know, we know that there's, you know, the mode of passion, which is creation, and the mode of goodness is more maintenance. And we probably were a little stronger on passion than goodness, in a sense. So that actually maintaining the devotees, maintaining institutions, you know, in a very solid way, is still something that we struggle with at times. So we do need more emphasis, we need more energy put into education at all levels. As we said, there are some wonderful opportunities. I do want to mention one particular opportunity that we've had, that there is a very wealthy gentleman. We actually, I had the opportunity to visit with him in, where were we? Mahabaleshwaram, at one of his many estates, or this palace. But anyway, I actually forget his name, but I don't think we need to mention it. But actually very much influenced by Radhana Swami, and made this contact of this family that knows him well. One of the members is a disciple of his. This particular person isn't at the moment. But basically, long story short, he's donating about $5 million to develop a leadership academy in Mumbai. And this is out, maybe about, I think it's about 15, 20 miles west. It's kind of on the west side. I'm sorry, on the east side of Mumbai. But he has a whole project that he's doing, a real estate, you know, development. But he's giving 2 or 3 acres of land, and he's going to build the, it'll be a temple also, but he's basically building a school for us. So there's a group of us, members of the succession committee, of the organizational development committee, of the guru appointments committee, who are all working on this idea of succession. And one of the important things that we need is we need to be able to train our leaders to take the next steps. Particularly, we're seeing that we're going to need about 150 zonal secretaries throughout, you know, in other words, people who do basically the work of a GBC. They may not be an international GBC, but they're supervising major areas of the world. Great need for this. We're also seeing that if you look around, those of us who are GBCs, you'll see in this room that all of us, I think, have gray hair, and that we're not getting any younger. And we're already seeing many of our members wanting to retire, or they've had health problems. And so it's really just a matter of time when we're going to have major turnover in the at the top levels of leadership. And so we have to prepare for that. So some of our groups and committees have been working on this whole idea of succession planning and how our next generation of top leaders and all the other leaders are going to be put in place. And so this opportunity that we have is really wonderful in Mumbai, because we're going to really develop like a seminary, a leadership academy. You know, every church has a seminary or some formal way that they train their leaders, those who become their priests, their ministers, etc. We've never really had that. So we're going to have not necessarily a full-time 3 or 4 year program. We're going to start out with shorter programs, but we're developing again very high-level leadership training. Garanga Prabhu and others have been working hard on this in India, and our whole group and committee to try to really develop this. We hope that within the next year to be able to roll out our first classes of people who are going to be zonal supervisors and become GBCs. So, you know, it's going to be a fairly intense training of not only classroom-based, and we have many of us are going to be working on curriculum and developing those programs, but also field training. In other words, having assignments and things that where you actually show through experience, because classroom, you know, training is not enough. There has to also be based on real world experience. A person becomes a leader somewhat by knowledge, but also a lot by experience, a lot by what you practically do. And also the third component, so there's education, there's experience, and the third component is mentoring. The way that our young leaders became leaders was through Prabhupada's mentoring, guruship. Actually, but we could say that in the educational sense, we could call it mentoring. Prabhupada trained us how to lead, how to manage. He trained us in everything down to how to keep the books, right? He accounted for every penny, you know, of his own personal expense. He trained us in everything about it. And so we have to continue that process of helping to train our next generation of leaders. So many challenges, but many opportunities. And if you want to give any last words, and then we'll go to questions.
Sorry. So just as far as challenges, we found when we were putting together some of these extended training programs that one of the practical challenges was to say, we've got a wonderful program and it's 12 weeks of time. So the question was, well, who's going to find 12 weeks of time? You know, if you do it in the summer, that's when the college students or people that age might be able to come. But then basically we said, okay, who wants to give up your summer for the next 2 years? And we didn't get a lot of good feedback from that. So then we looked at, okay, so are we going to do it for people that are already working? Well, that means weekends. So then you're going to come to some place to teach, to take some courses. How many weekends to get 12 weeks of training in? So that looked pretty difficult. So then we talked with temple leaders and said, well, send us people that are in the temples that have real potential for this startup program of this North American training program. And kind of the response was, well, we can't spare them. Well, why? Because we don't have enough depth to train people how to manage things better so we can get more depth, how to expand the temple. It's this kind of vicious circle. So we pushed ahead with that program. We did it for 1 year in North America, and it was very hard. I think we had about seven people. I think one of two-year program, one person went through the whole program. So we had trouble. We had great material, great opportunities. We had a mentorship program lined up in between. It was very well planned out, but it was just, it was a little, in a sense, kind of too ahead of its time because the backup and the support wasn't there. So one, it was hard to find students. Two, as Tamahar mentioned, there was a lack of, there could have been more buy-in from the existing leadership. Different reasons why they couldn't commit, perhaps, but there wasn't a buy-in that was necessary. And a big challenge, I remember way back when we first started talking about some of the things with Rompa Swami, he was pushing for this in the past and continues to do so about education. And we sat down and was like, well, how do we address the question that comes from the youth? This is kind of, in the early conversations, it was kind of the elephant in the room, and I think to a certain extent it still is in terms of this conversation. What's my future? So you're telling me become trained, you know, go to 2 years of ISKCON seminary or become trained up as a leader or manager within the ISKCON society, then what happens? We have, you know, Bhadni Narayan Maharaj is here, and he's working single-handedly, building a team to talk about where do you go when you retire, and old people that lived in ashrams for 40, 50 years. So we're putting a few of those pieces together, but oftentimes we hear from young people. So you want me to give up my career, become an ISKCON committed, you know, leader, then what? Isn't the same thing, you know, what's the plan for medical support? How are you going to put my kids through college? Are you going to ask me to move out as you did my mother in 1984 when the temple runs out of money and, you know, I got to go work at 7-Eleven, etc.? You know, these are some of the unfortunate things that happen in certain places within the society, snippets of the problems that were there because of, you know, many reasons, lack of support and some leadership mistakes, etc. But the reality is, when we were trying to promote these programs, a lot of young people said, well, what's the future? You show me that career path. So that's a major issue for us, and it's something that is being looked at internationally. I live at a temple where we're very fortunate to have a temple president who's a good manager and visionary, and she's put in place financial means by which devotees are getting, you know, significant amount of income for temple residents. There's which covers opportunities for medical care and retirement plans, and you know, they're legitimately in the books as far as future potential for their kids to get scholarships. And I hope, like, it's interesting, we have Tamahar Prabhu, who, as we've heard, he's got a PhD. He teaches courses. He's so skilled in his abilities and his leadership. And at the end of the North American GBC meetings or the GBC meetings in Mayapur, he runs up to his office to grade papers online, because if he doesn't, he doesn't have money to pay for his ticket to fly to Mayapur to be a GBC member. That's a structural problem. You know, Shesha Prabhu, another North American GBC member, his daughter's here. You know, he's a lawyer. A lawyer by day, a GBC by night, to fund himself. So, you know, long term, it kind of worked for our generation because we were understood just give everything up and move in the temple. And I was fortunate. I brought my own sleeping bag, so I was more comfortable than most. I had some resources to build upon. Although my backpack was stolen the first week, I did. My sleeping bag remained. But, you know, long term, as terms of educational, looking at challenges, I feel deeply we have to figure out what's the plan for providing for our leaders. So it shouldn't be like, well, you know, like if you want to be a U.S. congressman, you better have your own business. You know, if you want to be the president of the United States, that's really good, but you better be independently wealthy. You know, they fixed that problem years ago. So I think it's a bigger sociological issue we need to address if we're really going to educate people, the broad community, but particularly on this topic of leadership training, to be providing for a career paths and futures for devotees. So it's interconnected with ISKCON. But we can see it's interconnected with the question of education. There has been a lot of progress. We've got very qualified people to teach. We've got great materials to teach. We've got a great philosophical basis on it. Our founder, Acharya, said it's the first purpose to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large. So it's a priority for us, and we've made some real progress, but there's a lot that remains to be done, a tremendous amount of work that remains to be done, particularly how to make it happen systematically. It really needs to be made done more systematically. So that's our overview, and we have some time for questions. Thank you very much.
You want to take it?
Okay. And maybe you can ask either of us or both of us or anything that's...
Is there a microphone?
Hare Krishna. Hi, Hare Krishna. So this question, either of you can answer, is based on the... it's based on the Isopanishad mantra that addresses how vidya must be known alongside as avidya to transcend birth and death. So what effort is being made to educate devotees in the Gurukula system or just congregation members about how to view and interact with society, the mainstream society, so not to have like a dichotomous relationship where it's like, this is me when I'm at the temple and this is like me when I'm outside sense enjoying, how to reconcile those two? Or
so
what's being done to address that to make sure that
or educate people on how to
so the thing is, in other words, we may provide all the spiritual education, but how is a devotee going to interact in the world? Is that the basic question?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. And that's a very, very important question. And I think good education addresses that. How do you apply? Practical application is so critical in every aspect. Now, I thought you were going to go in a different direction. We said, well, what about people's careers and how are they going to learn different? The thing is, those people out there in the material world who are doing this are already doing a pretty good job of teaching material education. So I don't think we need to replicate that particularly, because if you want to be an accountant, you can probably go to a school and learn pretty well how to be an accountant. But you need to know how to be a Krishna conscious accountant, and that's what we or just to be an accountant who is Krishna conscious, we should say, and that's really the mission of ISKCON, is to provide the spiritual education. And I think part of that, and especially the new devotee training we're talking about, there needs to be a lot of practical application. I know that because I do a lot of grihastha training and family counseling, marriage counseling, and things like that, I know when I, especially if I'm doing home programs or going to different groups and like that, one of the questions that I get asked, I would say probably the number one theme, especially that householders ask, is how do you balance your material life and your spiritual life? How do you, right? This is really an issue for many of us. How do we take care of our material necessities, our family responsibilities, and be Krishna conscious? I mean, that comes up over and over again because it's a challenge. It's a real challenge, and that has to be part of our education. How do you be Krishna conscious in the world? As Anuttama mentioned, Prabhupada said we shouldn't just be armchair philosophers. It has to work. It has to be practical.
Yeah, I'll just add it, because in terms of the education, I think, I don't go around and visit gurukuls, but from what I understand and what I pray is happening is that there's a real emphasis on this point of balance, that you need a good education. I mean, we just looking from the point of view of parents, I think a Krishna conscious parent's duty is to give their child a foundation of Krishna consciousness. And to understand, ultimately, it's not my child. We know that we read so many things about people that, the father that wants his kid to be the best football player because he broke his leg in high school, never went anywhere, so you will be a football player. I remember going to an event years ago, an Indian community event, and one of the young people stood up practically boiling over with frustration and said, it is statistically impossible for 78% of any ethnic group to all want to be doctors. you know, like, you know, screaming, I don't want to be a doctor. But he was in the first wave. He was darn well going to be a doctor, and he knew it. You know, and his younger brothers and sisters were going to get more freedom and all that. So I think, you know, the key for parents is to be able to say, you are who you are. We're here to try to facilitate you, to try to help you be, you know, if you're going to be an accountant, I'm not going to turn you into a football player. And if you're going to be a dancer, I'm not going to turn you into a lawyer, etc. But how do you be the best you can be, and how do you do that for Krishna? And I think, you know, and I think back in terms of when I became a devotee, everything, you know, I looked at all the different degrees that were out there and all the professions and thought they're all useless. They're totally useless. Well, I don't want to be a lawyer and, you know, learn how to defend murderers. Well, I don't want to be a politician and cheat. I saw too much of that in university politics that I was involved in. It was corrupt to the core. And I thought, if it's this corrupt in a university, what's it like out there, etc. So, but now, I mean, I think, you know, in my, we're all passing away soon. So in my next life, I'm thinking, wow, I mean, if I was a young person now, I think, geez, I can be a lawyer for Krishna. I can be an accountant for Krishna. I can be a businessman for Krishna. I can make millions of dollars and build temples. I can be, you know, this, it's like the sky's the limit. Where those that are inclined, I can, you know, fully devote myself to worshiping the deities in a beautiful community that's growing and inspiring so many people. I mean, it's exciting, the opportunities are there. So I think that balance has to be there. And I, my sense is, from what I've seen, that's the type of education that we're providing. And if somebody's got a kid who's in an educational center that's, quote, Krishna conscious, is not providing their balance, I would say find another place.
Okay, Mataji, and then Vaisheshika.
Thank you so much. I wanted to bring up in the aspect of education what both of you have touched upon, the area of grihastha training, and especially, you know, the area of navigating through this whole, you know, all the challenges that come up when you're being a grihastha, husband-wife relationship, and as children are growing up at different ages, the things that come up. And like Anuttam Prabhu said, keeping Krishna in the center, but what does it really mean when you're going through, you know, your practical daily life? So one thing I wanted to express was that for me as a practicing devotee and mother and wife, it's so invaluable to hear. I mean, I'm saying the obvious, but it is so invaluable to hear from Prabhupada disciples who have, you know, the whole generation who have lived and faced these challenges and grappled with the same questions and really came out on the other side. And I feel that's something that is I wish something more systematic where we could have access and could be done where the wisdom that you all have could be accessible to the younger generation like us who are practicing. Because I'm realizing that, you know, I could read so many books. I mean, I could read Bhakti Shastri, but the amount of clarity and insight that I get from just hearing from the devotees that have gone before me and done the same thing, it's so invaluable. So, and I know there are models of that and there are things, efforts happening, but I just wanted to bring it up that it is so important and it's so invaluable. And I recall at the beginning of my Krishna consciousness back in 2001, Rompad Maharaj had arranged for a lot of seminars for all of us to get trained. And you both were one of, you know, I remember the two seminars, the first two seminars I attended were one by Tamahara Prabhu and Mantrini Mataji about Grihastha life. And at that time I was so young and just married and I thought, oh, really? Do we really need this? And but now 14, 15 years down the line, I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I need. So thank you so much for that and for being here today.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your kind words. I didn't remember. I did a seminar in Chicago? That was 10 years ago. Okay. Yeah, okay. I was going to say, we've actually developed our seminars much more since that time. We've developed this Grihastha course, which is about a three-day course, which is answers a lot of these types of questions. And, you know, if Nityananda Prahn wanted to invite us or something sometime to come, we probably could. We could do that. Okay.
Yeah, just a comment on, because sometimes you think, well, what goes to a three-day seminar, this or that, but I mean, your words kind of speak to that. And the thing that I find really inspiring in some of these ISKCON-created programs, like I'm one of the people who gets the opportunity to teach the Leadership and Management Seminar. It's a six-day course. I've had at least three people that I know of that have master's degrees in business administration, MBAs, who've told me I learned more in 6 days in this seminar than I learned in 2 years. Because it's they're principle-based, and they're very specifically focused on, you know, addressing needs. There's not a whole lot of theory. And what's really wonderful, like in the Grahasta course, it doesn't say, okay, when your husband does this, do that. Or if your wife says this, do that. It says, here's the principles. You know, and it's got to be, for instance, I remember I helped with one session there about relationships, husband and wife relationships. And we struggle with that like anything. Like, what are we going to teach people about proper relationships? And the essential principle of an hour and a half session on husband and wife relationships is it's different for different people. You know, you got to figure out what her needs are, what his needs are, and how to keep Krishna in the center. And if she's happy walking 5 feet behind him and never saying his name and, you know, looking down at the toes of any man she meets, Hare Krishna, you know? And if she's like, you know, if she's, Tamahar says, American, if she's, you know, if she's like the vice president of finance at the national, you know, bank in New York City, and he's the pujari, you know, and they're happy, fantastic. So, you know, principle-based things. So it's not like, okay, meet and find out, you know, here's how Tamahar's marriage works and you have to do it like that, or here's how Vaisheshika Prabhu's marriage works, you have to do it. Everybody's different.
I was just going to say, like, one of the principles there was mutual respect. In other words, there's some key principles that we can learn that we can apply differently according to different times, circumstance, and people. And there's cultural elements, and we've learned this over the years. I think all of us have become a little bit more aware and intelligent about how to approach different cultural elements and cultural differences, because they are there. Even though we're Vaishnavas and we're spirit souls, we are all raised in different cultures, and how to balance all of that. And as Anutama said, something may work well within one culture, not as well in another culture. So yeah, there's a lot I think that can be covered. Vaisheshika, I think, had a question. Or comment, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for all you've done and are doing. And I would also like to give a testimonial that your class on called Leadership and Management was life-changing. Best class I ever took in my life. And all the other devotees that came to it also. You mentioned a few times that these classes have been hit or miss as far as continuation, and that there's a need for making them systematic. You used that word several times. And what are the elements, maybe the top three elements, that make something successful, make it systematic, and that give it longevity? And what are the elements that prevent something from propagating and going on? Because we have some things we like to teach, maybe locally, like you mentioned, the Bhakti Roots course. What elements should we embrace in order to make them systematic and make it spread?
I'll borrow from Sripad Stephen Covey. He said, begin with the end in mind, that there's a vision. You know, that's and again, I kind of got dragged into this whole thing. I don't have a background in education. I just saw it work and thought, boy, I'd like to try to help out. And with the book distribution course and then the other things I've been through, creating courses, it's clearly what do we want at the end? What do we want leaders to be able to be and to do? What are the essential practices that communications devotees should be able to do? What kind of people they need to be? What are the essential? What's the goal of a healthy Krishna conscious marriage? What does it mean to be a disciple in ISKCON? What's the goal? What are we trying to create? And then to look at what are some of the obstacles that are there, and then how do we teach this end that we're trying to achieve? And how do we empower devotees? Like Prabhupada said, you know, a movement is meant to create independently thoughtful men and women. So how do we create and empower devotees to take this? So it's not education in terms of we're putting some formulas into your brain, but how do we help you realize what you already know? And how do we help facilitate that process? So I think that's the first thing of the effective systematic education, is to understand what's the goal that we're trying to achieve, keeping that there first. And he's going to give you the second one.
Well, this one isn't quite as lofty, and because I thought that was a wonderful answer, but also make sure it works. You know, and I think you've thought about that a lot, you know, and things that you've done. In other words, what can my congregation, can this community, what can they do? What's possible as far as when you're talking about a sustainability of a program or of a training program, what's going to make it continue to work and continue and prosper as opposed to something that falls by the wayside? Like we thought we had this great leadership program, this 12-week program. We put a lot of effort into it. We developed some of the curriculum. We taught many of the courses. It didn't really work because it didn't practically work for our audience. You know, I mean, it did work. I'm not saying it didn't, but you know, it didn't have the success we'd hoped for because it didn't practically fulfill the needs and the situation and conditions of our audience. So, I mean, that's the other thing, I guess, just to be very practical. Who's your audience? What is it they need? What is it they can do? And, you know, another point I think is it's hard to teach everything all at once. So one thing, like this is even in counseling, the concepts that I always use is give somebody something right away. Let them walk away, take away something that they can use, something that'll change, that they can change, something that's going to give them immediate benefit. You know, you mentioned this, Vaisheshika, you talk about the picking the low-hanging fruit. I think it was one of the metaphors you used, or, you know, exact. So I think that's also there. In other words, give people something really tangible that's easy for them to get and that will make a change. It'll be hopefully even transformative, you know, at best. Rather than spend too long with too long, drawn-out, theoretical things that may, you know, it takes some weeks to get to something juicy, you know. And I don't think we're saying anything to you that you haven't already done and incorporated really nicely, and you've shown us some good examples in your own training with book distribution of those principles.
I mentioned a couple of times before, but I would say it again in answer to that question. Make it principle-based. So devotees walk out with a sense of what are the principles, because every situation we all face is going to be different. You know how your son responds to age 7 is completely different than some other mother's responding or child's responding. But what are the principles that help the devotees be empowered to make their own decisions? And so that we're not teaching people what to think, or helping people understand, you know, how to think about something. I think that's a real key. You know, how do I think about being a disciple? How do I think about communicating? How do I think about being a parent? And then I'd add one other thing, which this has been a real shortcoming for me in the courses I've taught, is follow-up. I think, you know, it's kind of like you have just enough energy to get across the race, and you don't have enough energy to, you know, make it to the medical booth and get treated for whatever happened after the race. So, you know, the follow-up. So there's training, but then how do we check in and make sure they're still doing okay? And if it's principle-based, you've kind of already addressed part of that, because, you know, you've given them all the power and ability and the way to see things to continue on their own. But ideally, if there's follow-up, what obstacles have you run into? Are you reviewing the materials? Are you applying it? What's helping you? What's not? How can we help you go deeper to continue applying? I think that's a key thing. You know, think about if you take, like, you know, in regular education, whatever, sixth grade, they teach you new things for 6 months. They take summer vacation, come back, they spend a month or two reviewing what you did before they do anything new. So that idea of reviewing and follow-up is something we haven't been so good at.
Sanachananda Prans, Prabhu? Oh, I'm sorry. Went first and then Nachananda.
I remember Srila Prabhupada saying...
Son, if you can just hold it closer.
I remember Srila Prabhupada saying, learn organization from the Catholic Church. Do you use some of their techniques and things like that? Or
there are people in the Organizational Development Committee of the GBC who are doing that very thing, looking into different models, particularly when we talk about models of hierarchy, models of organization, how to organize a spiritual society. And there's some of that being looked into. In fact, right now, somebody has that project to look at some of the different religions, including the Catholic Church, and see their models. Yeah, and the Mormons. I don't know if we've done that specifically with education, but we certainly are keeping that in mind, you know, Prabhupada's instructions on that.
And one of the things that kind of stands out in my mind is 17% of their contributions go to litigation for their pedophile priest. So, I mean, that's one thing we've avoided, I think, you know. Another thing is, you know, this question, is Krishna consciousness a religion, a culture? It's kind of a fuzzy, you know, it's kind of, it comes and goes. Would we call it Prabhupada called it a cultural conquest. But is it a religion or is it a science? But it's both, because religion means following the laws of God, and that's what we're doing. A science is that we have, you know, that understanding that most people don't have. So
yeah, Prabhupada used all those terms. He called it science, he called it, you know, culture, he called it education. And of course, we know famously Prabhupada said that, you know, education without philosophy is sentimental, and philosophy without religion is dry speculation, right? Or
yeah.
Something that's paraphrasing a bit, but something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From our local enlightened leader.
Enlightened or not, I don't know. I have a practical issue here, and then perhaps other leaders may have. I'm looking at Vaisheshika Prabhu as well. There are 52 weekends in a year. There are 64, at least 64 programs that we want to fit in, 13 to 15 festivals, plus monthly Sankirtan festival, and it becomes practically impossible to do the things that we want to do, plus, you know, visiting guests and sannyasis who want to have home programs, and weekends seem to be the only time. Weekdays, hardly any participation. So even if, or when we have education as a important feature that we want to make sure that our devotees, including, I guess, myself, I'm trying to be a devotee as well. How do we fit in all of this? And so when there is a course that someone has to go for 3 days, or we have to schedule here, it's always a trade-off. If that happens, something else cannot happen. Can you please help with some advice?
Very good question. I think the first thing, as far as what do we do now, is plan, right? To plan. So in other words, you're looking a year, you as a leader and manager, you're looking a year out, 2 years out. Okay, within the next 2 years, within the next year, I'd like to offer, you know, have Tamahar Mantrini or Uttama and Partha, some of the devotees that teach the Grahastha training, come. So let's put that in. Or within the next 2 years, let's find, you know, put the big blocks in first, like they say, so as far as what to do now, so that it's balanced, because, you know, obviously you want to make sure you have senior, inspiring leaders that come in and just, you know, going to preach Krishna consciousness in a broader scale, but you may need some specific skills. So maybe this year you do 2 sessions, whatever, Grahastha and something else. Obviously, you got to get the disciple course going. Maybe next year you bring some this and that in. I think, in a sense, that's kind of the short term. A few years ago when the GBC was looking at education and success, and we talked about there's kind of 3 levels. The first level, we have these short-term courses. They're kind of, you know, shot in the arm to bump things up. That's the first effort. Second effort, which we talked about, this North American consolidation and then the India Leads program, how do we put together what we have, add a few things, and have an intensive, like a 12-week program or 6 weeks, a year, over 2-year period of time. The third level is, how do we train people younger. I mean, we're still pioneers. You know, we're fixing the wagon wheel when it breaks, rather than, you know, getting steel reinforced ones before we left St. Louis. You know, we're out in the prairie. It's like, okay, what do we do now? But I think we also have to be planning for the future, and this is part of this idea with the seminary. You know, you shouldn't be a 60-year-old GBC member taking your first course on accountability or assessment or teamwork. You know, but that's kind of what we're talking about. How do we make sure everybody has a lead? And we've got very bright people in those positions, but for various reasons, sometimes we haven't been given the skills, the empowerment to help us do a good job. And same thing at temple president's levels, department levels. So there's kind of short-term fixes that we should apply. But long-term, we need things like this seminary. There's another one, you know, coming up in Mumbai, Mayapur, perhaps, et cetera, so that when you're 22, you're getting skills that are going to help you when you're 40 and when you're 60. So it becomes an ongoing process. So that's part of the longer-term challenge, too. So short-term, let's get as many shot in the arm as possible through planning. Long-term, let's support these efforts to make sure that, you know, the next president in Chicago or the one after him 20 years from now isn't 50 years old saying, well, you know, where's my skills? What am I supposed to do? It's like, we're going to build on what you got at the seminary 20 years ago and what you got to experience when you became the vice president in this temple before you went, became the executive vice president in that temple before you went to a small temple before you took over a big temple, and, you know, those kind of things that, as you know from your professional experience, what everybody else does. So those of us that don't get back to Godhead at the end of this life, we have a bright future also serving ISKCON here. Many of us will serve ISKCON in the spiritual world. Some of us will continue serving ISKCON here, and it's only going to get better.
Hare Krishna. Any, Maharaj, do you want to say any final word? Or? Time is up. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I'm getting out of here now.